very excited about this. Coming up tonight, International Man of Mystery, Andy Mossack. Now, he's not on the road as per, you know, in some sort of absolutely amazing foreign luxury. He's not in that situation. He's at home. So we don't have three clues as to find out where he is. But he's going to come on, give his top three of the year. And we talk about what was 2019 in terms of Mossack's travel record. I mean, how many miles do you think he's done? He's been to the very top and the very bottom of the globe, for heaven's sake. I don't think he could have done more miles. With the man himself here after 11 o'clock. And we'll have a nice old chat with him. Oh! Nothing gets the heart pumping like this, does it? 2019's been an absolutely bumper year for lots of different people, but mainly, actually, in our experience here at the show, roving travel reporter, international man of mystery, Andy Mossack, who joins us this evening. Ahoy, hoy!
Ahoy, hoy!
Ahoy, hoy to you! All the best of the season to you, Mr. Mossack.
Yes, and the same to you, Russ. Same to you. Have you had a good one?
I've not had not too bad a one, I must say, really. And I would have been better if the dog didn't have such terrible wind, but...
Those Brussels sprouts.
You get through these things here. Yes. So, and yours was good, was it? You had all the family over?
Well, we did, yeah. And it was so nice to have my feet up, actually, for a few days and not have to run to airport gates. It's a bit weird, but yeah. Very nice.
I mean, you've done a lot of that this year. This has got to be one of your busiest years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bit off the charts. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. But fun nonetheless. Someone's got to do it, haven't they?
Yeah, well, it's good job you're there and you're willing, isn't it, Andy?
Exactly, yes. I'm always first in the queue, sir.
Now, there were a lot of places that you've been to this year, and we managed to correctly guess every single time. But
thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, there are some that are absolutely extraordinary trips, though, and it's just the way that it's fallen this year. And you've put together like your three that I think meant the most to you. So which is your first one, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I must say there were some notable mentions, though. There was that place, La Palma, which was in the Canary Islands, when I lost my hire car. That was always a memorable moment.
Yes,
and,
I remember.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
That was not my finest hour. And there was a lovely elephant lodge up in northern Thailand, rescued elephants. I loved that. And driving around this motorhome in Brittany was another highlight. And that was fun. But there were three standouts for me. And that's, first of all, I think the Fête de Vigneron in Vevey in Switzerland was absolutely extraordinary. You know, a wine growers festival. Started in 1797 and only happened once every 25 years. And I was so privileged to be given an invitation to go there. So it was really something else.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the one where they basically build a stadium to house this just for this? And then the festival happens and away it goes.
Yeah. It's in the town of Vevey and a very small town. I think it's only got about 20,000 inhabitants. And they build this arena that can hold 20,000 people. They put on a show every day with 6,000 performers in it. They're all amateurs, but they're all people who live in the town. And they rehearse for this thing for like 12 months. And it's extraordinary performance, and it was really amazing just to see them. And it was also quite emotional, you know, because they put so much effort into it. And they really, really mean something to them. And I was actually talking to some Swiss people the other week who said that, you know, for them, they've only been to sort of one or two, you know, obviously in their lifetime. And they said it's such a huge event that the whole of Switzerland, you know, can't wait for it to happen again. So, yeah, very lucky to see that. And of course, it was something special. And but also I had the opportunity to make it even better was that next door in Montreux, you know, I was invited into Claude Nobs's private home. And, you know, he was the sort of founder of the Montreux Jazz Festival. So for someone like me, like a muso, like me, you know, I mean, you know, had the run of the place. He passed away about 3 years ago, but his partner let us all in, you know, the press. So there was about, I don't know, it was about 12 of us who all turned up mob-handed. at his home, and we could just literally play on any of the musical instruments that are there given to him by all these famous people. So,
what did you play?
I was playing Carlos Santana's guitar, and then I switched onto Freddie Mercury's piano.
No,
it's nuts, Russ. It was a nuts evening. I just didn't want it to finish, you know.
Freddie Mercury's piano.
Yeah, yeah. He just gave it to him as a present, you know, because he lived obviously down the road.
I was going to say those later Queen albums were done in Switzerland, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. In what was it called? It was in the, what was it? Oh, the Casino.
Yeah.
But it was just amazing. And he showed me this collection of archive material, because the whole thing about what Claude wanted, he wanted all the performances from the world's greatest singers and musicians to be, you know, their live performances to be put on record. So he's got this incredible archive of stuff. Amazing. And they've transferred it onto DNA. Can you believe that? DNA. They've
<That's>
turned. Yeah. So we got this, like, we went into his cinema, and he showed us this sort of, you know, clips of the stuff, and he got this Prince performance on this super, super high quality video. Absolutely amazing. And to see him play Purple Rain, you know, in this sort of just this high quality was something else. Yeah. Amazing. So very, 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 very special.
There,
that was
there were no more sort of musical instruments just lying around, like, you know, Phil Collins drum kit was there, you know.
There was too many to mention. Let me tell you, he did have a collection of pinball machines as well, which Prince apparently, one of his things was he loves to play pinball, right? So he said he'd only play there if he could have his own pinball machine in his room, in his hotel room. So typically,
these rock stars.
He just didn't have one. He brought 20 of them. So these 20 awesome pinball machines are in this room, you know, just like, you know. So,
brilliant stuff.
You know, it was really everything, yeah. So that was pretty amazing.
Lovely.
Yeah,
very lovely. A couple of other visits that you made this year that are remarkable. One of which it was only quite relatively recently was the trip to Antarctica and starting off sort of at the Falkland Islands and then a cruise ship down to Antarctica. I mean, this is not travel you can do every day, is it?
No. It was one of those once in a lifetime episodes, and visiting the Antarctica itself, you know, just the sheer scale of the place, you know, these landscapes and watching glaciers crack and fall into the sea, you know, it is mind-blowing, really. And you pass by these sort of blue icebergs floating in the sea, and we even visited, I think I mentioned it, we visited Shackleton's grave, and he's buried there in one of the small sort of whaling stations. And they did this nice little ceremony. We all have a little tot of whiskey over the grave. It was very nice and touching, you know, considering he had this incredible story of that expedition. So it was amazing, yeah. And also amazing there, these whaling stations have just sort of been left as museum pieces now. So you go in there and you can see how big an operation these things were, but they're now kind of rusted, kind of almost spooky, but still quite beautiful in a way. It's all this rusted equipment, you know, and bits of whale bones and stuff like that hanging around. So it is something special. And then at the end, of course, on the way back, we went to the Drake Passage, which is, you know, one of the most fearsome bodies of water in the world. It's where the Pacific and meets the Atlantic, and down by Cape Horn, and just, you know, sort of a graveyard of ships. And so they kept bigging it up, saying, "You wait till we get to the Drake Passage, everyone. You know, it's going to be one hell of a ride." And of course, believe it or not, it wasn't. It was just so still and calm. It was
flat
unreal.
As a pancake.
As a pancake, yeah. So the skipper said, "Well, it's unusual." But going there, as you know, when we were talking, you know, we got hit by a giant wave, and that was something quite unusual. But
it was doubly annoying for us, of course, Andy, because you had faultless signal from the Antarctic when you were at the top of the wave on the crest, but as soon as you hit down the bottom, the signal disappeared, and that was only because, you know, there were 25 feet.
The skipper was in his office, and he was literally counting seconds as we were going up. And he said, "Wait a minute, we got to come down in a second." And
Wow.
I think he got to about 6 seconds, something like that. But for
Six
him, it's
seconds,
sort of,
right? Oh, man. Oh, I don't think I could
very
have done
smart.
that. I don't think I could have taken that.
Oh, no, but it was, just the scale of this thing, and to know that they don't let everybody on all the time, so
No.
it is very, very strictly controlled, and it's lovely to
Yeah.
see this sort of virgin snow everywhere. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah,
Absolutely
fantastic.
gorgeous. And last but
Yeah.
not least, there you were at
Yes.
the birthplace of certain branches of science. You're in the Galapagos Isles.
Always been something on my bucket list, very high up on my bucket list. 19 islands, never been joined to the mainland, so they've got these creatures there that are unique just to these islands. And the remarkable thing is that these creatures, these animals there, that no fear at all, because they don't have any major predators, so they literally come up to you, and just sort of walk up to you and look at you curiously. And it's just bizarre. You've got iguanas and sea lions and tortoises, giant tortoise. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. It's like being in a giant wildlife park, but they just stand alone. And it my Attenborough moment was I was alone on a beach, and I was with this family of sea lions just hanging out with them, and they were curious about me, and I was just lying on this beach, and of course the weather was very nice, and they were just sort of walking around me and looking at me and sort of, want to come and play. So I went snorkeling in the water, and they just came out with me too. We just sort of frolicked. So it was a real kind of Attenborough moment.
Frolicking
Just
with sea lions.
yeah, it was something else. Yeah, I just didn't have the butterfly net, as you quite rightly said at the
Oh, I'd
time,
love that. And those shorts that have really wide openings at the bottom, that's what you should have
Yes.
had.
No, it was something. And I always remember when you go onto land with Zodiac boats, these small boats. And as we landed, this naturalist who took us out, there's this horrible smell. I mean, serious aroma from these various different, penguins and iguanas. And as we got off, he said, "You smell that aroma, everyone?" He says, "That's evolution right there."
That's one word for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
So
evolution, that is, Governor.
that's evolution. So
I could
the
have
big
imagined
emo.
you. You wanted you there, like with your wide opening shorts, with your butterfly net, with one of those helmets on, going, "I claim this for the Queen. I shall call the island Victoria," because that's basically what they did.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it did feel a bit like that. Yeah, it did. I mean, you have no idea about because they don't let, again, it's all very strictly controlled. You are there with no one else, so it's you feel like you are just
Awesome.
there with nature.
I
And
gotta say.
I'm still thinking about it now. I have dreams about this.
What a staggering 2019 that you have had then. So have you got
It is, yeah.
as we wrap this up here, Andy, and I'll wish you now, in case I forget later, all the best for the new year. And
And
a
healthy
help,
and happy New Year, sir.
healthy and happy new year. You got some places on the
Yes.
cards then? You got places to go in the
Oh
future?
Luckily, the world is rather large, and I'm still going to try and catch every single country if I can, but this is a long way to go yet. And we've got some adventures lined up for next year. Some still in the making, but some great ones,
Good, good.
obviously, and I hope to we can do it together.
Excellent. We'll travel the world with you. Only
Exactly.
we'll just hear about the luxury rather than taste it.
Well, I hope I paint enough of a picture that you feel that you're with me anyway.
Oh, we felt we were certainly with you in the McLaren-themed hotel room in Russia, of course, with you in the dinner
Oh,
jacket. See? All these places. Yeah, we were salivating at the mere thought of the caviar. Andy, it's been absolutely superb. I shall talk to you in the new year, mate.
Yes, good luck. Good luck, and happy New Year again.
And to you, my friend. Thank you very much. Andy Mossack, International Man of Mystery. More adventures to come as we enter 2020.
Weekday mornings from 6.